Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vedanta Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Raksha Jain from Vedanta Limited Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, operator, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the first quarter results of FY22. This quarter has been a good start to the year. The call will be held by our Group CEO, Mr. Sunil Dugal, and Group Deputy CFO, Mr. Ajay Goyal, with several of our business leaders, Mr. Prachur Shah from Oil and Gas, Mr. Arun Misra from Hindustan Zinc, and Mr. Souvik Majumdar from Iron Ore and Steel. Mr. Dugal and Mr. Goyal will be discussing the operational and financial updates for the quarter, followed by a Q&A session. Now, I would like to invite Mr. Sunil Dugal to present the results. Over to you, Mr. Dugal.
Thank you, Raksha. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Vedanta Limited's FY22 first quarter earnings conference call. I'm happy to announce another strong quarter with continued momentum across all businesses. We were able to deliver our best by relying on our talent pool, asset base, digital-first approach, continued focus on cost discipline, and commitment to our core value of ESG, which is our fundamental. We remain hopeful that post-pandemic, India's recovery is likely to be quick with strong GDP growth. Global commodity demand continued to be strong as global economy, particularly the advanced economies, gained momentum, while supply-side constraints remain leading to metal prices touching multi-year highs. Oil prices are supported by gradual increase in demand, focus on investment in green energy, infrastructure, and sustainable mobility will provide strong support to demand for commodities like steel, aluminum. At Vedanta, aluminum, lead, zinc, and copper, while oil demand to strengthen from increasing mobility. Government continued thrust on infrastructure spending, incentivizing manufacturing, and easy availability of credit will increase commodity demand in the coming quarters. As more states progressively unlock restrictions, consumer demand is set to come back in quarter two. Coming on to slide number five, the second wave of COVID-19 struck India hard and impacted economic recovery as country went into localized lockdowns. We undertook several measures to help.
I'm sorry, guys, we got disconnected, but I'm not sure where I got disconnected. I'll just repeat a couple of paragraphs. Government continued thrust on infrastructure spending, incentivizing manufacturing, and easy availability of credit will increase commodity demand. As more states progressively unlock restrictions, consumer demand is set to come back in quarter two. The second wave of COVID-19 struck India hard and impacted economic recovery as country went into localized lockdowns across the country. We undertook several measures to help over 4.5 lakh people in over 500 villages by providing vaccines, oxygen, medical equipment, test kits, PPE kits, medicines, and sanitizers. With permission from the Supreme Court, we started the oxygen plant at Sterlite Copper, which has supplied around 1,400 ton medical oxygen to hospitals around our location, free of cost, taking the total oxygen supplied by the group to 2,250 tons approximately. Coming to slide number six and seven now. At Vedanta, we believe in giving back to the society and being the developer of choice by communities. Anil Agarwal Foundation, the umbrella entity for Vedanta's Giving Back to initiative, has rolled out rupees 5,000 crore social impact program with focus on nutrition, women and child development, healthcare, animal welfare, and grassroots level sports, including investment in a corona-free village project across several states to combat the pandemic. As part of this initiative and with an aim to tackle expected third wave, we have started Swasth Gaon Abhiyan across 1,000 villages in 11 states, touching lives of about 20 lakh people by conducting vaccination drives, supplying oxygen, and providing medical and diagnostic infrastructure, among other things. Coming to slide number 8, as the world is slowly getting back to normal, we are determined not to let our guards down. Our central task force headed by the business CEOs continue to monitor the situation on ground. We are well prepared to assist our internal ecosystem in case of any unanticipated third wave. We have deployed all required medical support and infrastructure at our sites, along with hospital tie-ups for any emergencies. Testing and vaccination of all our employees, business partners, and their families are ongoing as we speak. We are prepared to go the extra mile to ensure welfare of our employees and communities. Coming to slide number 9, we are saddened by the loss of 2 lives at Zinc India this quarter. We have completed in-depth incident investigation for the fatalities. The learning from the incident are being reviewed by our employees and business partners for implementation across business units and are being tracked and monitored at Exco level. Safety continues to be our highest focus as we aim to achieve zero harm and ensure that everyone goes home safe at the end of each day. Achieving our safety vision, we have fatality learning program through ICM training. We have also improved our safety interaction all the way to senior leadership level through visible felt leadership. Coming on to decarbonization, we are developing a net zero roadmap with a concrete action plan till 2030 to be rolled out in next 6 months. This includes risk assessment, developing science-based targets, carbon pricing, and revamping our energy mix. We continue to analyze and monitor environmental risk as a result of our operations and aim to achieve a net zero impact on the environment. We are also identifying areas within each business wherein we plan to launch net zero pilot program to achieve early success, which can be scaled up. Coming to slide number 10 and 11, turning to our key operational and financial highlights of the quarter, we continue to deliver strong production performance across all businesses, along with continuous focus on lowering cost. Special mention to Alumina, Zinc International, and Fekkar, where we continue to achieve new levels of production with continued focus on structural reduction in cost and better capital management. This quarter, we clocked record revenue of 28,105 crore and highest ever EBITDA of rupees 10,032 crores with robust EBITDA margin of 41%. The net debt has come down by 7,000 crores from June last year, which shows the strength of our balance sheet. Vedanta's diversified product portfolio puts us at a sweet spot with production ramping up across all our businesses, with recent ferrochrome and metcoke addition strengthening the portfolio further. We remain focused on achieving potential production across businesses from our existing resources and enhancing performance via technology leverage discipline. Coming to slide number 12, We have reoriented our management structure and are focused on following key value drivers. In each of these areas, various initiatives are being strategically driven to unlock further value for the economy, for the company. Upholding our core commitment to ESG, we are upgrading the board sustainability committee to board ESG committee to strengthen board level rigor and advice into all aspects of ESG. We remain committed to provide equal opportunities to employees regardless of their race, nationality, region, caste, creed, gender or age. Set up Center of Excellence with R&D as foundation to leverage technology and improve asset base. It will also unlock value through integrated procurement and marketing. Establish digital transformation task force to improve efficiency across businesses, including initiatives for risk monitoring and analysis. Exploration and reserve growth is the key focus area for all our verticals. We are working on various greenfield projects. Few examples, execution of Thane Vasna copper block in next couple of weeks, with drilling expected to start in next 4 weeks post-monsoon. Extension grant of Dubarpet from Government of Maharashtra expected shortly. Expected to get forest permission to drill 18 bore holes through DCF. Baghmarak gold block, Chhattisgarh. Forest approval received. In the process of executing at state and commencement of exploration in current quarter. At SECA, we have onboarded an exploration partner where drilling has commenced with expected total R&R addition of 10.54 million ton based on Q1 exploration. We continue to work towards assessing new mining zones and expanding partnership to strengthen R&R base. Coming to slide number 13, turning to our business verticals. Aluminium business, we witnessed an exceptional quarter, highest ever hot metal production of 549 kt, which was up 17% YOY. Langigat cost of production was at $258 per ton and aluminium cost of production $1,526 per ton, up due to input commodity headwinds. This quarter saw highest ever EBITDA margin of 36%, making aluminium business almost equivalent to the highest contribution to EBITDA at our group level. We have emerged as a successful bidder for the Kurloi North coal block in Odisha. The operationalization of our coal blocks, Jamkhani, Radhikapur and Kurloi North will be one of our key focus and high priority areas, as this will ensure almost 100% of the coal security for the business, with the potential to bring down coal cost by around 30 to 35%. Turning to slide number 14, in our effort to be among the top global leaders in aluminium with sustainable tier 1 cost structure, we are undertaking the expansion of Balco smelter from 0.57 million ton to 1 million ton, taking the total VAT capacity at Balco to more than 90%, maximizing the NEP. The Line 6 ramp-up in Jharsuguda will take total capacity to 2.8 million tons per annum. The ramping up of alumina refinery from 2 to 5 million tons per annum is on track, which will move us towards our vision to be vertically integrated across entire value chain. Coming to slide number 15, on Zinc India, one of the key pillars of our business, it has been delivering consistently on volumes despite the challenging times. We delivered one of the strongest first quarter. Mine metal production stood at 221 kt, up 9%, with metal production at 236 kt, up 17%, and silver production at 161 kt, up 37% YOY. Zinc cost of production stood at $1,070 per ton, higher on account of commodity prices, mainly coal, cement and diesel. We look and a stronger year ahead on the back of fully commissioned projects, digital initiatives, and structural efficiency improvement. Am I not audible? Hello?
So you are audible. We can hear
you. So you are audible.
Okay. So I just thought, let me check. We look at a stronger year ahead on the back of fully commissioned projects, digital initiatives and structural efficiency improvement. The shafts at Rampura Gucha mine and Sindeshwar Kund are fully operational. Moreover, increased usage of advanced process controller at both FC and RD mills for purpose of grinding are used to improve recoveries. This year, there is an increased focus to increase our reserve base by upgrading resources. We are leveraging advanced surface and geophysical technology to achieve the targets. Moving to Zinc International business, Habsburg mine is setting new records with its excellent performance, producing highest ever MIC of 46 KT in quarter, up 84% YOY, on way to achieve the target of 250 KT, which is more than the design capacity. It also demonstrated several best performances like highest mill throughput, mill utilization, and ore treatment. Cost reduction trajectory of Habsburg continued with COP of $1,299 per ton in quarter one from $1,350 per ton in quarter four FY21. Through effective plant maintenance and monitoring, internal efficiency, and digital initiatives, apart from recovery improvement, we are confident of achieving the target driven by the capacity enhancement project at Habsburg. Plan to ramp up mining by 3x in FY22 to more than 75 million ton versus 24 million ton in FY21. Two additional mining business partners have been onboarded. Ongoing project to remove debottleneck of zinc production to achieve 600 ton per hour mill throughput and expansion of rougher circuit to improve recovery. Reagent addition project to run at 600 ton per hour. BMM produced about 15 KT MIC in quarter one. It has started a new scalable product line of magnetite. Advanced step towards developing a 3 million ton per annum iron ore project are being undertaken, with the first production seen from the pilot plant already started. Phase 1 of this project expect to produce between 0.7 to 1 million ton of iron ore. ZI is well positioned to undertake next phase of growth in line with the vision to become a 1 million ton producer. With robust R&R of 30 million ton of metal and proven track record, ZI is embarking on expansion projects. Habsburg phase 2 to almost double production of existing Habsburg mine from 240 KT to 450 KT. Conversion and expansion of refinery at Scorpion Zinc, Namibia to produce 300 KTPA fine metal from sulfide ore Habsburg. Drilling has also commenced at Habsburg Kloof and Swartberg. Two significant drill targets have been identified through deep looking magnetotelluric geophysics technology. Coming to slide number 18, on our oil and gas business, gross oil and gas operated production during the first quarter was 165 KBOPD. Gas sales were impacted due to reduced demand during the first 2 months. This was normalized during June and we exited the quarter at 170 KBOPD. Gas production has ramped up with the new terminal now fully operational. We have onboarded O&M partner to manage the gas processing facility to improve operational efficiency and also enable us to focus on R&R addition. All wells for Aishwarya, Barmel, Hill have been drilled and volume ramped up. The polymer injection has been ramped up to the design capacity. Coming to slide number 19, for the current year, we have planned capex investment with twofold objective of adding near-term volume and resource through exploration. We plan to spend around $200 million to monetize 40 million barrels of reserves. Infill drilling has been commenced in Mangla. Drilling in tight oil, tight gas and offshore shall commence progressively from quarter two. We intend to spend around $150 million to grow this source portfolio of 15 wells drilling program in OALP. We have drilled four wells already, and currently drilling is ongoing in Cambay and Northeast. We expect to commence exploratory drilling in Rajasthan and Rawa Block during the current year. Coming to slide number 20 and moving to iron ore business, Karnataka saw highest ever margin supported by strong domestic iron ore prices and focus on value-added products through restraint in full value due to trade barriers. Sales were consistent with while the production was up 53% YoY. For Goa mines, we are engaged with state and central government for favorable ruling for resumption of mining. At value-added segment, we achieved highest ever quarterly hot metal production of 202 KT due to productivity improvement, and margin improved to $184 per ton, which was up 6x YoY. We are also very happy to announce integration of our recently acquired coke plant, having a capacity of 0.9 million tons per annum in Gujarat, making Vedanta largest merchant coke player in the country, taking the capacity to more than 1 million tons. Coming to slide number 21, steel business recorded quarterly sellable production of 289 KT, up 8% YoY, with a margin of $115 per ton. The sales were at 265 KT for the quarter, down 13% YoY due to challenging domestic condition amidst the second wave of COVID. The VAP mix decreased in quarter one to 75%. However, our focus remains to achieve more than 90% in FY 2022. We are on track to double hot metal capacity to 3 million tons per annum in next 16-18 months' time. Debottlenecking of existing blast furnace is planned in October. Upgradation of other unfinished facilities with technology, automation, digitization are ongoing for productivity improvement and capacity enhancement. Turning to slide number 22, Faicker is continuing its turnaround story, has seen 3x growth in ore production in comparison to last year. In fact, this quarter witnessed highest ever ore production. Plant productivity has increased by 11% post the annual maintenance shutdown in April. We have completed several efficiency initiatives like debottlenecking of furnace and optimization of stable ferrochrome production. We further plan on increasing the productivity through various debottlenecking and technological initiatives. With this now, I would like to hand over the mic to my colleague and friend, Mr. Ajay Goel, for the financial summary. Over to you, Ajay.
Yeah. Thank you, Sunil, and good evening, everyone. We have delivered yet another very strong quarter, and Q1 has been an outstanding start of the year, both operationally and financially. This quarter witnessed our best ever quarterly EBITDA performance and very low net debt to EBITDA ratio. This quarter, we also made investments in various futuristic CapEx projects, augmented digital and people capabilities, and supported societies very well in these tumultuous times. Some of the key highlights of the quarter from page 24 are highest ever quarterly EBITDA of 10,032 crores, up 150% YoY, with an underlying EBITDA margin of 41% being an industry-leading margin. Attributable PAT before exceptional items stands at 4,280 crores, up 314% YoY. ROCE, return on capital employed, at 22%. This is up 375 basis points versus last quarter sequentially. Gross debt stands at 51,579 crores, and with cash and cash equivalents of 31,318 crores shows underlying very strong liquidity position on the balance sheet. Net debt of 20,261 crores, down 26% YOY, and that is almost 7,000 crores, with annualized net debt to EBITDA ratio of 0.6x, continues to be lowest amongst Indian peers. I want to underscore that 0.6x ratio means that almost with the 7 months of profitability, we can repay the entire net debt on the balance sheet. You may have seen that we have a detailed income statement in the appendix on page 31. I want to call out a couple of vital few numbers for your benefit. Starting with depreciation charge for the quarter at 2,124 crore, it is higher by 23% YOY, primarily due to capitalization of major projects, especially at oil and gas, and higher ore volumes and capitalization at zinc and aluminum businesses. The numbers quarter-on-quarter, it is marginally higher by 3% due to capitalization at oil and gas and higher ore production at our zinc international business. Finance cost for Q1 was 1,182 crore, down 6% YOY and down 11% quarter-on-quarter due to lower average borrowings, partly offset by higher interest cost. The average cost for the quarter stands at about 8.1%. Income from investment for the quarter at 726 crores, down 29% YOY, mainly on account of mark-to-market movement and 16% lower quarter-on-quarter, primarily due to change in mix of investments. The average income from investment for the quarter stands at about 5.3% pre-tax on the current portfolio. The normalized ETR effective tax rate stands at 26% versus 28% in the previous quarter on account of change in profit mix within entities in our portfolio. Now, as you know, normalized ETR excludes any tax on exceptional items, tax on intra-group dividend, and one-time deferred tax asset that we recognized almost 3,000 crores in the previous quarter from integration of our ESL from the previous losses in the fourth quarter. I now move to EBITDA bridge. Now, starting with the EBITDA bridge, first YOY versus last year on page 25. As you can see on this chart, in summary, significant portion of EBITDA increase of 6,000 crores from 4,000 crores last year, same quarter, to 10,000 crores this quarter, has been market or pricing driven, both LME and Brent. The increase in volumes at zinc, aluminum, and iron ore has been partly offset by cost inflation at aluminum business, which again is mark to market. Overall, the absolute EBITDA for the quarter vis-à-vis last year, same quarter, has gone up 2.5x, which I think is quite commendable. Moving on to the EBITDA bridge sequentially on page 26 vis-à-vis the previous quarter. EBITDA for the quarter is higher by 10% quarter-on-quarter. As evident from the bridge, the market for LME and various regulatory factors have positive impact on our EBITDA by 1,669 crores, with commodity pricing alone giving a gain of 1,928 crores. This is partly offset by input commodity inflation, majorly at aluminum and at ESL. On the operational front, lower volumes at zinc and thank you. Apologies for that. I was on EBITDA bridge sequentially, which is on page 26. EBITDA for the quarter is higher by 10% quarter-on-quarter. Now, as we can see from the bridge, the market and LME factors have positively impacted our EBITDA by 1,669 crores, and the pricing alone giving almost gain of 1,928 crores. This is partly offset by input inflation, majorly at aluminum and ESL. On the operations front, lower volumes at zinc and iron ore and steel business has impacted EBITDA by 705 crores. Overall, the higher metal pricing and the Brent and inflation on input side has been the major themes both quarter-on-quarter and YOY, though with different magnitudes. Moving on now to next page on net debt side, on page 27. Net debt as of June 30 stands at 20,261 crores, showing a decrease of net debt by 4,153 crores sequentially, and deleveraging versus last year is almost 7,000 crores, almost 26%. The decrease in net debt is attributable to positive free cash flows post-capex, almost 2,800 crores, as a result of strong operational performance. And secondly, also receipt of almost 1,500 crore on account of intra-corporate loans that we got repaid from Vedanta Resources Limited. Finally, moving on to the balance sheet, the last page, page number 28. We remain highly focused on managing our balance sheet efficiently and have a very strong position in terms of cash and investment, totaling to almost 31,000 crores plus. The average maturity of term debt is almost 3 years, with average borrowing cost at 8.1% for the quarter. The rating has remained constant as in the previous quarter, with a stable outlook from India Rating. With net debt to EBITDA at 0.6x, we are amongst the lowest in Indian peers by a long margin. Overall, in summary, with an excellent Q1 performance and structural improvement in volumes across businesses, we delivered both profitability and deleveraging, and we leave a stronger balance sheet as on the quarter end than where we begin. This sets us to deliver a very strong yearly performance. Thank you, and with that, I hand over back to Sunil for wrapping before Q&A.
Thank you, Ajay. Before we open the floor for question and answer, I would like to reiterate our strategic priorities and vision that will drive our long-term value. Number one, vision of becoming world-class ESG organization. Two, strengthen our reserve and resource base to enable growth. Three, strong focus on operational excellence and cost leadership. Four, maintain strong balance sheet and optimal capital structure. Five, continue delivering value-added growth in all our businesses. Now I declare the floor open for question and answer. Over to you, operator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have two questions. The first one is your the expansion plan at Balco, 414 JTPA. Now, what kind of ROE or ROIC do you envisage from this expansion? Because one of your competitors in India is averse to expanding this primary aluminium capacity, while you are going ahead and doing it. So, just wanted to understand the thought process behind it.
No, I think. We wanted to go to 1 million ton club at Balco, and we also wanted to realize our vision of 3 million ton production. And with the infrastructure focus and the growth of green metal demand, aluminium, I think the demand is going to grow in India. And by making and adding the capacity, which is 100%, almost 100%, value-added product, I think we can come to the first decile of the cost curve with our structural measures around securing our bauxite security, raising the Langigarh capacity from 2 million ton to 5 million ton with a potential to go to 6 million ton. We are also in the process of taking the approval for 6 million ton from MOEF. And then operationalization of the coal blocks
Just to also let you know that the recent coal block, we Kurloi coal block, which we have just won, the potential cost of the coal is around 42, 43 paisa per GCV compared to our existing cost of 74, 75 paisa. And securing coal from three coal blocks, which we have already won, it almost gives us the 100% coal security. With all those structural measures in place and adding the value-added capacity at Jharsuguda and now and the previous quarter also the capacity which we have declared at Balco, and with this expansion with the 100% value-added capacity, I think the aluminium business is on path to 3 million ton, contributing $3 billion EBITDA to our kitty. And we are quite excited and motivated to announce this expansion.
So just wanted to understand the, you know, ROE, ROIC estimate if you have put any for this particular expansion.
Sure. I think you heard from Sunil that this Balco project is quite aspirational. And we'll be with this entering one MTPA club very soon. Now, as you know, the entire growth of this market is about 7 to 8% CAGR. So this is a building capacity for the future. It is showing seed for next generation. Now, the entire project has very healthy of the financials. If I look at maybe IRR as a key metric that we normally track, it is between 20 and 25%, depending on where LME will rest. So 20% plus is for sure is the IRR. Is quite strong. Payback is another set while looking at this kind of project. So between 4 to 4.5 years is a real payback on this project. We also did multiple scenario in terms of LME going up, going down, if we overrun. Overall, looking at multiple scenarios, the project is well stress tested, and 20% plus IRR, 4 to 4.5 years is a payback.
But I also want to add on. This IRR is worked on a very conservative cost number, which is the existing cost. With the structural measures which I have just said, the oxide security, Nanjigarh capacity going up, operationalization of the coal blocks, and our value-added product, I think the NSR potential going up from the current level, if the LME remains at the same level, we have a potential of around $300 to $400 additional NSR contribution from this business.
Wonderful. Thanks for the elaborate answer, sir. The second question is on your aluminium waterfall chart that is on slide number 39. Now, if I see the cost elements, you know, everything has increased QOQ except conversion cost and others. So is there some RPO obligation right back that is responsible for this decline from $101 per ton to 64? Or, I mean, what are the drivers for this decline?
There is no right back as such. There is no RPO right back in this cost.
Okay, so it is purely the efficiency factors that have resulted in this.
Absolutely.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks so much. I have more questions, but I'll come back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, are we on call?
Yes, Mr. Ashish Kejriwal, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, hi. Good evening. So my question was on net debt position of company X Hindustan Zinc, where we are seeing that it has declined just by 2,000 crore on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And out of that, around 1,500 crore is the ICD payment by the parent company. So effectively 500 crore decline in net debt X Hindustan Zinc. So my question is, how do we see X Hindustan Zinc net debt panning out throughout the year? That is question one. And secondly, you talked about the coal block. So, you know, all these three coal blocks, when do we think that will start contributing and giving some kind of advantage in the coal block or power cost, as well as what's the CapEx plan for Balco when they are expanding, how much CapEx they are doing. Thank you.
Well, I think all these three coal blocks, we are on a drawing board and working out the numbers for operationalization of all these coal blocks. So my rough estimate is that we will have to spend around 3,000 crores for operationalization of all these coal blocks. And my own sense is that we are in the process of taking some approvals and then land rights and working out a MDO model in discussion with various parties or potential vendors. So this could become operational in the next 12 to 18 months time with a rough capacity estimate of around 3,000 crores. On net debt of Hindustan Zinc, Ajay?
Yeah, sure. So if you read maybe two charts in our presentation, page number 27 on net debt position and the page number 32, you know, that shows our cash position by entity. See, the deleveraging, if you look at numbers quarter on quarter between March and June, our net debt has gone down by almost 4,200 crores. The contribution by Hindustan Zinc is almost 2,000 crores and the remainder is from different entities. So it is half and half.
So that's what I was saying, sir, that half of 1,500 crore is just the ICD repayment by the parent. So from operating cash flows of X Hindustan Zinc, we were able to reduce net debt by 500 crore only.
I think you're right. The number is about thereabouts, about 750 odd crores. You're right.
Yeah. So my question in that was that how do we see X Hindustan Zinc net debt coming down throughout the year?
I mean, as you know, we don't give guidance in terms of net debt or the cash flow for the fiscal. But one can look at the numbers. If you look at our fourth quarter, the cash flow generation, and for the Q1, historically in our industry and in our company in Vedanta, typically the first quarter is the cash investment. I mean, that is how the business cycle, that is how the entire debtors and inventory really works. Maybe first time in the recent past, we are looking at the deleveraging in the first quarter. I think by each passing quarter, and I don't mean to give guidance, but the volume in the second quarter should be higher than the first quarter. It need to go up. So with the higher volume quarter on quarter, cost compression, and assuming LME's continues, EBITDA for the current fiscal will be far higher than the last year. And even that led to significant cash flows. So we should be looking at significant deleveraging in the current fiscal. The exact number, as you appreciate, it is hard to provide for now.
Sure, sure. And sir, that question of what's the capex for Balco 400 KT expansion?
So around 6,600 crore.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So my first question relates to the Balco expansion. In terms of the 0.4 million tons aluminum smelter, would there be any additional power capacity be set up? And if so, what the kind of capacity would that be?
I don't think any additional power capacity is required. We don't need any power infrastructure. We don't need any water infrastructure. So the advantage is that the power sufficiency from our current power plant and converting IPP to CPP will be good enough to meet the demand for the expanded capacity.
So essentially, we should expect, sir, the power sales that we are currently seeing at Balco of roughly 400 million units a quarter, that would reduce as and when the smelter comes online.
Obviously, obviously.
Okay. So my second question relates to the oil segment. So the oil realizations were up roughly around 10% Q on Q, and we also had flattish volumes and a slightly lower COP, but the EBITDA has actually come off marginally in this quarter. So how should we look at that?
You know, say again, how did it come?
The oil segment EBITDA were at 1,064 crores is actually lower on a Q-on-Q basis, Q1 versus Q4. Even as the oil realization at $67 is around $7 higher versus the fourth quarter, and oil production is flat. So even with higher oil prices, sir, and flat volumes, why is the EBITDA lower sequentially?
So the EBITDA lower sequentially is majorly on account of our PP trend, which has increased from 50% to 60%. That has given some impact to the EBITDA.
And so this will be recurring?
Yeah, so we are in the 60% trend for the year FY22 and we'll continue with that.
It is not exactly 60%. As per the agreement, this has gone up from 40% to 50%. So minimum will be 50%, but it has also got a formula, investment multiple, that means the capex spent, and as a result of that, it could vary from 50% to 60%. We are at a highest tranche because of the investment multiple. But if the investment goes higher, as a result of which the volume could go higher, the TP could come down to 50% going forward.
Understood, sir. And just to continue with this oil, there was another expense of oil exploration wells being written off of 99 crores in this quarter. Historically, we have not seen that kind of an expense, sir. So what is the kind of inventory of exploration wells which is sitting on the balance sheet and could get expensed off in the P&L going forward?
Now, you see, these are OLAB wells. We have budgeted 15 wells for exploration. And you know in the exploration that not that every well gets the success. So we have drilled 4 wells. Out of that, 3 wells have been found right, but 1 well has given the success through which we are commercializing the production. We are in the process of drilling more wells, and as a process, when the wells get dry or we find the dry wells, we have to write off this cost. So it is a very standard SOP which is followed.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is on capital allocation. Wanted to hear your thoughts on copper smelter fertilizer plant at Hindustan Zinc and oil refining business. And lastly, Edgerel divestment. That's the first question on capital allocation.
So capital allocation, we have budgeted $1.8 billion in which project capex and sustaining capex both are included. But apart from that, the project which we have declared today, a part of that investment could also come. But all in all, I think for the current year, the capex investment should remain at not more than $2 billion. Apart from that, whatever projects you are talking, we are in the process of evaluating this all these projects and on our drawing board to do the complete design and the final design. And in the copper smelter also, you know that we had issued the UI, we got the interest from the coastal states, 3 coastal states. We are in discussion with them, but we have not conceptualized or finalized anything. As we will conceptualize or finalize anything, we will come back to you and we will announce at a right time.
Sure. So my second question is on dividend payout. I was just looking at the Vedanta Resources bond holding. On 16th of July, Vedanta Resources terminated the consent solicitations with respect to 2 bonds, that is 2024 and 2025. I understand basically the guarantees are not only from VRL but also from Twinstar as well as Velta. So just wanted to understand, given this consent has got terminated, what is the repercussion it could have? Or how should one read into the dividend payouts from Vedanta to the parent?
Yeah, sure. So for 2 parts, you know, if you start with the first, that bond consent, we think the overall seeking this bond consent is positive for all the stakeholders. And it's part of our continuous efforts in terms of various initiatives. Now, we can't attribute this to any one specific initiative. Now, looking at the response from the bondholders, we think at this stage, it is not in our best interest to go for this consent. And hence, Vedanta has called off this bond consent. The second portion is to look at the payment of dividend, and I know you track Vedanta quite well. Our dividend yield has been amongst the highest in the Indian space.
Now, if you look at the current fiscal with a higher profitability driven by both the volumes and the prices and resultant EBITDA, I think a stronger free cash flow is a given. If you look at the first quarter and maybe the last quarter, the balance sheet strengthening remains our single biggest priority. And the proof you might have seen, almost 7,000 crores, almost a billion deleveraging YOY. But with a strong performance and improvement in the COVID situation, I think it is fair to also assume that in the near future, the payment of dividend is an option. Now, will that be happening in the next quarter or the quarter next? We have to wait and watch. Secondly, also deleveraging at Vedanta Resources is one priority that again will be from payment of dividend, which may be from both operating free cash flows and even at some kind of leverage at Vedanta Limited. So deleveraging at Vedanta Resources through payment of dividend, both through operating free cash flow and borrowing is an option in near future.
Right. So just to continue with this, how should one look at the growth CapEx versus the balance sheet ratios? Like we have indicated net debt to EBITDA is the best in last 4 years at 0.66. So how should one look at growth CapEx versus the balance sheet ratio that we are looking at versus the dividend payout?
I mean, you may have seen our CapEx guideline for the current fiscal is almost 1.2 growth CapEx. Additionally, almost 0.7 or 0.8 billion is sustaining CapEx. So overall CapEx for the current fiscal, almost 1.8 to 2 billion. Historically, we have never exceeded our CapEx guidance, and we are quite conservative. We are quite rigorous in terms of looking for CapEx approvals. Now, typically, our net debt to EBITDA, historically, last 5 years, is in the range of 0.9 to almost 1x. Right now, 0.6x, I think by far the best in Indian peers. If you're asking about will that sustain, I would think 0.6 might be too low, but again, 0.9 or 1 is too high. I'm foreseeing that the current fiscal, including the year end, it must be in that sweet spot of almost 0.7 to 0.75x.
Sure. This is helpful. I'll join back if you have more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just continuing on the previous question on dividend, just want to understand, as for the tax laws, what is the deadline for us to get the tax shield on the dividend income we receive from Hindustan Zinc for this year?
Well, as you may have seen in the current fiscal, there is no dividend from Hindustan Zinc. And typically, as you know, Section 18M, Income Tax Act. So we have to pass on the dividend from our subsidiary to our parent company within the same fiscal. So whatever amount we get in the near future, if at all any payment is happening, we have to pass on that to the parent in the same fiscal.
Okay. But my understanding was we get a tax shield or tax credit, whatever you call, in the tax filing of next fiscal. So is that right? I mean, I thought November is a deadline normally. I think it was also discussed in earlier calls. But you're saying that the tax shield for last year's dividend is lost, so we don't have that. Ajay, is the question clear or should I repeat?
No, I heard you. I'm not sure if you heard me fully. You know, I think the line dropped. What I was saying, the timeline to get the entire dividend credit is before 1 month we file the return. If timeline remains the 30th November, then we must pass on the entire dividend by October 31st.
We have time to go.
Okay. And did we get any COVID-led extension of this timeline last year or any extension of this timeline expected this year because of the COVID situation?
We don't know.
Right now, that is hard to say what the government will do. But it is quite possible they might extend. But we have irrespective time till October 31st.
Got it. That's very clear. Second question is with respect to steel, the expansion from 1.5 to 3 million tons. What sort of capex and the timeline we are looking at? And secondly, are we looking to just add hot mill or some downstream as well?
No, actually, this is a capex, which is a half-finished project. When we took over this company, I think there were a lot of equipment which were installed. It's a half-finished project. So we have
balancing, putting all balancing equipment and completing the project, and this will take the capacity to 3 million ton. But we are also looking at debottlenecking of the existing furnaces, similar to what we have done in our value-added business. So this will all take the total capacity to 3 million ton. That means the existing capacity of around 1.3 million ton to 1.5 million ton, and adding the additional capacity to 1.5 million ton. So 3 million ton will be the hot metal capacity. We are also adding the value-added product capacity, that means steel mills and the tower billet. The overall plan is to have a value-added product of 90%, and the CapEx investment is around $230 million. So, Souvik, you are also online. Anything you would like to add on this?
Yes, Dugalji, only one point. In the value-added segment, we are also adding the ductile iron pipe. So presently, we have got around 220,000 tons. So this total capacity of the ductile iron pipe will go up to almost 400,000 tons. So that is all I wanted to add. Thank you.
So all in all, we are looking at a vast capacity of more than 90%.
Understood. Understood. And Mr. Dugal, if I may just ask one more question. With respect to this Balco expansion, in the presentation, it is written that the value-added will increase to 90%. So what is the plant configuration we are adding? Is it just pots and smelters we are adding, or also some downstream at Balco?
We are adding 100% downstream of billet.
Got it. Got it. Okay, thank you, and all the best, sir.
It's a more than 100% capacity, along with the smelter capacity addition, that means the pot addition. More than 100% of that will be converted into VAP, and that is billet capacity.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just on this, Balco expansion, you know, you had mentioned that the total CapEx would be in the, I mean, the total Vedanta CapEx will be in the range of $1.8 billion-$2 billion, which has not changed from earlier. So, how should we apportion this, CapEx for the new Balco announcement, and when, you know, when can we expect production from this smelter? That's one. And second, is there any update on the Supreme Court ruling on the Hindustan Zinc stake?
So on Balco expansion, this CapEx will be completed in 18-24 months' time. And the overall guidance for the current year will remains around $2 billion, maybe $200 million of the more cash flow could happen. But for the next year, depending on what cash flow will be there next year, we will be coming back and giving the guidance in the coming quarters. On Hindustan Zinc disinvestment, the date has not been fixed as yet, but we believe that whenever the date will be fixed, now the courts are opening up, that could be the last hearing.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Chandak from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
My question was with regards to the green metal that you mentioned, you know, saying that you would be expanding the Balco capacity by 400,000 tons. How would that translate into a green aluminum? Because I understand our bulk of power would still be coming from captive coal mines.
I don't know what green you are reading. The green metal, we are taking the pilots in all our operations. There, we want to convert a part of our production in zinc, steel, aluminum, every business to the green metal. That means, we want to source the power for that pilot, through the renewable power. And all other measures or all other initiatives we want to take to brand this metal as the green metal. So this is only a pilot project which we are taking. And the pilot will be such that how we have to scale it up to the full volume. As we speak, we are making a strategy and preparing ourselves to declare our strategy for making our operations carbon neutral, or how shall we progress in 2030, 2040, and 2050, in which we will convert all our energies to the renewable energies. But beyond that, what are the other ESG measures we are taking, and how the journey we will be traversing over the next few years? So a complete plan and a public declaration we will be making in the month of October.
Thank you, sir. That's quite an elaborate answer for it. Thank you so much. So my second question was, again, with respect to this BALCO expansion. You mentioned that we would be doing 100% or more than that on the VAP. So would we be stopping at wire rods, or we are planning further value-add products like extrusion products or something more than that?
No, we will make billet only.
In that 400 kV, it would end at billets only.
Yeah, that's right. The extrusion will be done by somebody else. As of now, we are not talking of any extrusion from bullets.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Rahul Jain from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I want to check on your priority for capital allocation. So we're going to have a very strong year of cash generation. So as I understand, you said like 10,000 crores CapEx would be your first priority. And then to what extent do you want to upstream cash to your parent? Like, what is sort of, I can read that you have total parent, the term debt is around, $3.7 billion. So how should we look at your entire capital structure?
So see, our policy on allocation of capital is quite consistent. And, these kind of priorities and strategy will not change quarter on quarter. So on an entire strategy, we have about three strategic priorities. The first and the foremost remains deleveraging. And some part of it we have seen in the current quarter, deleveraging by almost a billion, if you look at numbers, Y on Y. Second area remains growth CapEx. And again, you may have seen the $1.2 billion, the current year estimation, and the BALCO today announcement is in the same direction. Third is how do we create value overall. So these three are the priorities, and they are not necessarily either/or. Now, deleveraging is both for Vedanta Limited and Vedanta Resources. As you know, the net debt at Vedanta Resources as of June is about $12.5 billion. Now, a significant portion of deleveraging at parent Vedanta Resources will be through payment of dividend. Now, that can come from, again, two sources: the free cash flow from profitability led by higher volumes and the pricing. And secondly, even leveraging, borrowing at Vedanta Limited, payment of a dividend for deleveraging at parent is an option. So deleveraging both Vedanta Limited and the VRL in the current fiscal is our single biggest priority, if I may say so.
Yeah, so what is the cap number that you're looking at as a net debt basis that you will not cross to pay a dividend? And by when this kind of dividend are we looking at? In 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? I mean, any timeline for that?
I mean, it is hard to give a specific timeline. And the payment of dividend you may have seen in the current quarter has not happened. In near future, is it an option if you ask me? I mean, definitely. I think that seems quite logical. But to give some definite timelines is hard. But
no,
yes,
so are you looking at a threshold of not going beyond 2x net debt to EBITDA or to pay to keep the dividend? Is there any number in mind we have?
We think any leverage around 2.5x is a good number. And for Vedanta Limited, around 1 or less than 1x is a good number. So that is our normal threshold. But depending upon the environment, it might change.
Right. Yeah, thanks. And also on the expansion on alumina side, so what kind of cost reduction should we expect? And will we get fully integrated and will meet the requirements of BALCO as well?
Yeah, so it will cater to the requirement of BALCO. You see, the 5 million ton, the current capacity will be able to produce 2.5 million ton of hot metal. And we are also looking at debottlenecking this to 3 million ton. And for that, we are also aligning the permission EC for 6 million ton. So 6 million ton has the potential to produce 3 million ton of metal. With the capacity addition in Balco, the total capacity will go up to 2.8 million ton. With the Lanjigarh expansion, it will give a cost benefit of, say, $50-$60. But apart from that, we are able to source the local bauxite from Odisha. We will have a further advantage of, say, around $50. So the net-net, our vision is and our ambition is to get a more than $100 benefit from the cost from Lanjigarh expansion.
Right. And sir, also I'm wondering, why would you want to expand so much in Balco, given such a high level of minority interest? So would it not priority will be, to ramp up more at Jharsuguda?
No, I think the other advantages are also there. We have a water security. We have a power security there. We don't have to put up a power plant. So optimize the CapEx and make it more productive. It is all the more important to put up this capacity at Balco only.
Right. Yeah, thank you so much. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Raksha Jain for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on this call. Before we wrap up the call, we'd like to announce that our integrated annual report for the year 2021 is now live on our website. Please do have a look and let us know your feedback on the same. If there are any follow-up questions or if there are any clarifications required, you can reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.